Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all are wondering where my neighbor's at. We had our baby's Abby last night, a little after 9 o'clock. We found her and she had blood all over her. And she was dripping blood and we didn't know what was going on. So we took her to the emergency animal hospital last night. And it was a polyp in her mouth on her artery. And so it had burst and so they had to cauterize it. And thank God she's doing great. She's well and good, but Pastor Sharon asked me this morning, she said, do you think I should stay with her? I said, I do, because we can't have her moving around a bunch this morning, and she's kind of a dog that moves around a lot and eats a lot, and she can't do either one really right now. So, glory to God. It is neighbor looking time. Look at your neighbor, smile at your neighbor, point at your neighbor, and say, I came to receive God's good word this day. And I declare, I'm ready. Are you ready to receive God's good word this day? And I declare, I'll never, never, ever be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. And Father, I pray that you will use me and you will speak through me and the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We'll see things that we've never seen from your word, that we'll hear things we've never heard. It's been there all along, but you'll illuminate them to us this morning. Speak through me, Holy Spirit. Help me say exactly what you want me to say. Help me to preach it the way it should be preached. Help me to teach it the way it should be taught. Use my words, Holy Spirit. Help me. And Father, I thank you. I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for we receive this morning everything you've got for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to teach this morning. We're going to have communion, but I want to teach on communion. And I want to teach it in a way that maybe you've never heard it. You may have heard it this way, but I'm not trying to be different. I just I feel like sometimes communion is like a legalistic, ritualistic service. And we just kind of do it and we don't know what we're doing or why we're doing it, but we just do it. And that's not, you know, it's kind of like the dead letter of the law, but it's not what the Lord's wanting us to do. So we're just going to open up the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm gonna do my best to take my time this morning. 1 Corinthians 11. I want to start with verse number 20 today. I'm going to give you a little background, and then we'll take it in another one, another translation in a minute. 1 Corinthians 11, starting verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, that is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, this is actually the Apostle Paul, and he's actually getting on to them. For in eating, every one of you taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that you have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And here's the section of Scripture that we generally read. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night, in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as you oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Okay, I'm pausing there on purpose. Unworthily, because a lot of people in the body of Christ don't take communion, because they're afraid to take communion because of the way it's been preached and taught so many times. And like through the law, through the filter of the law. Whoever shall take it unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man, verse number 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. Now I'm going to read it to you a little bit different, a little portion of it, out of the Living Bible. I'm going to start at verse 20, but I'm going to skip around a little bit. When you come together to eat, it isn't the Lord's supper you're eating, but your own. For I'm told that everyone hastily gobbles all the food he can without waiting to share with the others, so that one doesn't get enough and goes hungry while another has too much to drink and gets drunk. What? Is this really true? See, that we're abusing the Lord's Supper. What, is this really true? Can't you do your eating and drinking at home to avoid disgracing the church and shaming those who are poor and can bring no food? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly do not. Now, skip down. Verse number 27. So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, can you see that he was addressing in this set of scriptures, he's addressing the situation that's in this church. He's addressing how they're not doing it right. They're doing it in a wrong way. They're not reverencing the Spirit of the Lord the way they're doing it. And he's addressing this. He's not actually talking about being worthy or unworthy to receive the Lord's Supper. You know, that's what we think. Okay. So if anyone eat this bread and drink from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of the sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. This is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. Okay? Now, I want to take a little portion, just a small portion from the message. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again. Now, we take, you know, the Lord's Supper over and over. The church is something that we do all the time. And we're supposed to do it, and we do it. And we don't do it enough, actually, in this church. We're going to do it more, but we don't do it enough. And you will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let, get this, never let familiarity breed contempt. What's he talking about? He's talking about we take communion over and over, and we get so familiar with taking communion. We're taking communion today. That's a no service. That's a nothing. We don't even have to show up because we're taking communion. We already know in advance we're taking communion, so we're not even going to be there. It's no big deal, but it is a big deal. Because we're not reverencing the Spirit of the Lord by having that attitude. That's a wrong attitude about the Lord's Supper. And he's saying, you're thinking the Lord's Supper is just, you know, this is just a piece of bread, or this is just wine. This is just common stuff. This is just this is not a supernatural thing, but it is a supernatural thing. This is a supernatural, communion is supernatural. And that's the element that we're missing. We make it natural because we do it so much. We think we do the same thing with tithing. We do the same thing with church attendance. Well, I got to go today. I got to tithe. I got to do this. I got to do that. You don't have to do anything. And you're doing it wrong if you have to do it. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be done the right way, not in an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians, skip back, this is King James, 1 Corinthians 11, 29, 30, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, now we said an unworthy manner, drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So if he's talking about communion, being unworthy to take communion, let me give you a revelation. Not one of us, nobody in this house, nobody in God's church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, Christian church, churches all across the United States, all across the world, nobody is worthy to take the Lord's Supper. Nobody. We don't do enough. We're not at church enough. We don't tithe enough. We don't do anything that we should do enough to be worthy to take the Lord's Supper. So it can't be about being worthy. But you know what? The blood of Jesus makes us worthy and puts us on that level playing field, and it makes us where, yeah, we all take the Lord's Supper, because it's not like I'm serving God better than you, or I'm greater than you, or I do this better. No, it's none of that. We're not worthy. That's religion. So if it has to be about being worthy, nobody can take it. There's none righteous, no, not one. But wait a minute, the blood of Jesus makes us righteous. Just as if I'd never sinned. We're only made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. So Paul was not saying we should not partake if we're unworthy. He was saying we shouldn't partake in an unworthy manner. not recognizing that the broken body of the Lord was meant to bring health and wholeness. And by treating the Holy Communion as a ritual, they missed out on the blessings. If our attitude is just a piece of bread, that's all it'll be to you. And you'll have robbed yourselves of its life-giving effects. So don't treat the Lord's Supper as a common meal. The bread and the cup is common things. He wants us, the Lord wants us to take the Lord's Supper so that our bodies can be made well. Amen. You know, one of the effects of the Lord's Supper is there's nothing missing, nothing broken. There's lots of effects. You know, it breaks the effects of the curse that comes against us. One of the effects of the curse that comes against us, and it's working in all of us, against all of us, is aging. But you know, one of the things about taking the Lord's Supper is my youth is renewed like the eagles. Excuse me? After we take the Lord's Supper, we ought to look at somebody and say, man, you look better than you did when you first walked in this place today. Looks like your youth's been renewed some since you walked in here today. You were quickened. You were made alive. You look better than you did before. That should be an effect of the Lord's Supper. Take communion with an awareness of His presence. Take communion expecting to receive from God in faith, not as a ritual to be observed or a religious practice. We release our faith in what Jesus did, and we receive nothing missing, nothing broken. And we had a service years ago that I felt like we were supposed to do communion, and I was kind of divided. I said, well, we'll do communion, and I'll put it in this part of the service, and I'm going to teach because I felt like I was supposed to teach, and I rushed it. I mean, I rushed it because I'm trying to get it all in, and, you know, people get funny about clocks. You can look at your neighbor and say he's talking to you. Sometimes people get funny about clocks and timings and stuff. And so I'm really trying to rush it in where I shouldn't have been. But I tried to. And we finished it that day. We got communion in. We got the teaching in. Whew, praise God. And the Holy Spirit let me know, you did this wrong. You did this totally wrong. That was not respecting the communion service the way I want it respected. And I said, I'll never do it that way again. And I hadn't. Now, I've never done one exactly the way we're doing this one today because I'm trying to explain it and teach it. But I'll never rush it like that again. Now, let me ask you, is there anything bothering you in your body today? Claim healing today as you partake of communion because that's what this is for. His broken body, His blood that was shed for us for the remission of sins, but His broken body, that's the part we omit so many times. What's bothering you in your mind today? Claim a miracle in your mind as you partake of communion. Communion services should be, or can be, and should be, miracle services, healing services, restoration services. We're redeemed from ancestral curses. They should be broken off of us. So while we're taking communion, something that your mama and your mama's mama had that's trying to come on you, oh no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I take communion with Him. And that communion said, you ain't coming on me. I don't care how many people in my lineage, my line have had this. It ain't coming on me. No, no, no. I take this cup in faith. It ain't coming on me. In the name of Jesus. Now, you can take it as a dead letter and it has no effect. Or you can take it as live and you take it by faith and you receive what He's got for it. I want you to declare a couple of things while we're preparing, because I'm going to slowly prepare us for this communion service. I want y'all to say, I take strength. I take health. I take soundness of mind. I take emotional healing. I take physical healing. I receive an impartation of His power today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I read a lot. I read a lot all the time. But I was reading about things about communion this week a lot. I was focusing more there this week, of course, because I felt like I was teaching it. And I read of a lot of miracles happening after taking communion services. People that had chronic rheumatoid arthritis were healed after taking communion. People with sleeping disorders were healed after taking communion. Migraine headaches were healed after taking communion. This lady had blood clots in her lungs, and the doctor said she's going to die. She will not make it. She was unconscious in the hospital. Her husband, her sister, her brother-in-law are all strong believers. She can't partake. They said, we can partake for her. They got them a little circle. They broke out the communion ware in the ICU, and they said, she's going to live and not die. We got a covenant with our God, and I don't care how it looks. I don't care how many tubes she's got. I don't care how many machines she's got. She's going to live and not die. We're taking communion over her in the name of Jesus, and there's power released when we take communion. And we're believing there's power released in this room, in that ICU room, when we take communion. And they did. The next day, she regained consciousness, and the doctors could no longer find the clots. A man was told that his mother was going to need a fifth surgery. She'd had to have four previous surgeries. She's older, and she's wore out. She can't, that she's never going to make it through this next surgery. And so the doctors came to him and told him there's a three-day waiting period between this before they have the next one. Doctors came to the family and said, call the family together because she's not going to make it through this one. She ain't got the strength, the natural strength in her body. After all she's been through, and you know, your body can wear out, you know, when you go through a lot, sometimes it overtaxes your body. And because these are natural bodies, but they can be quickened by supernatural power. That's the difference. So they said, she's going to die. Her son was the only believer. His family didn't really understand. He said, we're going to take communion. He got the family together that did not understand, got in that ICU room, and said, we're taking communion over her. And they took communion over her in that ICU ward. They even took a little bit of the cracker and stuck it in her mouth and a little bit of juice and gave it to her. Now don't get all religious with me, too. Maybe you're at home and you're taking communion and all you got is Coca-Cola and a Ritz. All you got is Coca-Cola and a cheese cracker. Take Coca-Cola and a cheese cracker. It's not about the elements. It's not about having perfect elements. That's not what it's about. You're missing the point. The point is, this is the Lord's Supper. This is what we're doing. It's sanctified as the Lord's Supper, and the power is released when we have the Lord's Supper. So they did. After 3 days, his mother was healed. Today, she's helping her daughter bake cookies and calling friends and relatives and telling them about her miracle. Holy Communion infuses life and health and strength into our bodies. The more you take it, the better you get. I never saw that before. It was revelation to me. And I see now things that I didn't see. I see a new light there. I see as a church body, we're not taking it enough. Now, we take it at home some. We actually take it at home more than we take it in the church, honest to God. But now I see, I'm going to take it more at home too. We're going to take it more in this body. In the general services in this body. But I can promise you, we're going to take it more at home too. Because I'm telling you, there's an infusion of power. And when I realize what's going on, it's bringing degrees of healing. It's bringing degrees of health. It's bringing degrees of peace and mental soundness in our minds. It's bringing nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't do that. If you're a believer, you're a priest. 1 Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This is for the believers, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You don't have to wait to go to church to receive communion. If there's only one person in your house, you're the priest of your house. I'm telling you, if you're a believer, you're a priest. And you can partake of the Lord's Supper and even minister it to others in your royal priesthood. You don't need to be a pastor to do it. Well, pastor, I need you to give me communion. I can give you communion. That's okay. But it doesn't have to be me. There's nothing special about me doing it. You understand? The specialness is you receive it from the Lord. And the same holds true with baptism. I know that'll throw some people. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I do a lot of the baptisms, a great majority of them. But, you know, if a father wanted to baptize his child, do it. Do it, because that's totally biblical. Do it. And there's nothing, you understand. We have ways of looking at things that can be expanded. In the church, leaders do the communion, pastors and leaders, just because things must be in order, conducted in order in the church. But in your home, you decide the order. In Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, Jesus bore spiritual torment for our sins, mental distress for our worry, care, and fear, physical pain for our sickness and disease. Now I'm going to read you in the New Living, Isaiah 53, starting verse number 3 through 5. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried, and it was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Amen. I want to read it in the Message. The servant grew up before God a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. Talking about the Lord. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. By your stripes, my youth is renewed. By your stripes, my liver is healed. By your stripes, my pancreas is healed. By your stripes, my eyes are healed. By your stripes, lupus is healed. By your stripes, degenerative bone diseases are healed. By your stripes, kidneys are healed. By your stripes, cancer is healed. By your stripes, blood diseases are healed. By your stripes, digestive systems are healed. And digestive disorders are healed. By your stripes. See, all you've got to do is claim whatever it is that's just trying to come on you, that the enemy's trying to throw in your path. By his stripes, I am healed of this. And that's what you do when you take communion today. I'm healed of this. I resist this in the name of Jesus. No. Young's literal translation says, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he has carried them. Psalms 102, 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, every one of them. The Living Bible says that he was beaten so that we might have peace. So if I need peace, I'm going to claim it by taking communion. I receive the peace of God by taking communion that he paid for. You're getting better. As you partake of communion, you're getting better. Declare, I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger by taking communion today. God is healing my mind, my will, and my emotions today as I take communion. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, we have to prepare our hearts to take communion. And one of the ways we prepare is believing to receive, using our faith, stirring up our faith to receive what God has for us, forgiveness of sins, healing for our bodies. Now, is there any kind of adjustments? All heads bowed, all eyes closed, nobody looking around. Are there any kind of adjustments that we need to make in our hearts? Do you have anything in your heart against anyone? Or are you holding on to something that you hadn't forgiven? Release it. Release it by faith. You may feel no different, but release it by faith. As you're praying, does anyone come up in your spirit? Let it go. Release it to God. Forgive them by faith. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Romans 12 and 18 says, if possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. So we're just examining ourselves right now. Anything in your life that you know that's not the will of the Lord for your life, you're putting it away. You're putting it under the blood. You're repenting from it. Repent means to turn away, to turn around, away from. I'm going to read you another scripture, Matthew 26:26-28, NIV version. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I'd like to ask Ish if he'd play. It's a song I want him to play while we're preparing our hearts. And as you, we've already prayed over this communion today, and you're believing you receive specific things from this communion service today. Not just, you're going to receive specific things. You're using your faith today to receive specific things from this communion service today. And you can come whenever you feel led.